We need to build a rock solid foundation now. Because I know that if we don't do that, all those superlatives that you're thinking of right now, they won't mean anything.
Welcome to the 4th and 1 podcast. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. That was Steve Spagnuolo talking about his approach to OTAs and what he wants to get accomplished as they look toward training camp and ultimately toward the 2019 season. Spagnuolo, of course, the new defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Nick Jacobs, are you ready to run through a wall for Spags?
Not yet, but I mean, I'll get there. Don't you worry.
Are you ready to run through a wall for Dave Merritt?
No, not yet.
Brendan Daly?
Maybe. That one's a little bit higher up there for me.
Okay. I don't need to ask about Eric Bieniemy.
No, that one already. I'm like the Kool-Aid man. I already went through on that one.
I think somebody can make that gif.
Somebody already has for another individual.
I'm aware, but I can. If anybody out there needs my email address, or you can just reach out to me on Twitter, I can get you a Nick Jacobs photo. So that's no problem. We'll make that happen.
I wish you the best.
Oh, challenge accepted. All right. All right. Well, here we are. OTAs rolling on. This week, assistant coaches stepped to the microphone for the Kansas City Chiefs and kind of gave their thoughts on where things are here in the season. We haven't seen them go live. There's not a preseason game on the horizon. You know, long way until any of this really matters. But what's your just initial impression of what the Chiefs have done defensively this offseason? And do you like the overhaul to the extent that you think you know what's happening with it?
Well, when they brought in the coaching staff, that was the number one key, and that's whenever I personally got excited about that. Whenever I saw the coaching staff that Steve Spagnuolo was able to build. I mean, the part of it is Andy is a comfort with him, and for people that don't know, Jim Johnson was Andy's defensive coordinator in Philly for a big part of his run until 2009, unfortunately, when Jim passed away from cancer that he'd been battling. And Steve Spagnuolo was on his staff there for a period of that time, as was Todd Bowles, and a lot of talented individuals were on that coaching staff in general, including John Harbaugh at one point. So, and I could name so many on the offensive side of the ball. They just,
right, do you want to play a game? I could like start a 30-second clock.
No, we're good.
Okay.
But anyway, right. So Andy had a ton of success, and he went to a lot of NFC championships with that defensive scheme complementing his offensive scheme. Now, what was so historic about this past championship is, if I remember correctly, this was the first championship Andy had been to without Jim Johnson.
AFC championship game. Championship game. Yes.
Championship game in general without Jim Johnson. It was the first AFC championship overall, but it was his first one without Jim Johnson.
Correct,
so
yes.
That, to me, was a significant milestone for Andy to be able to hit. Now he's bringing in...
Well, he did it with Bob Sutton.
I was trying to be nice about it. Todd was, Todd. Todd went down another road on that one. Congrats on your map quest. You've reached your destination, apparently, Todd. But Steve Spagnuolo, what he brought in with his coaching staff, he brought in guys that he'd worked with in St. Louis or he'd worked with when he's with the Giants, people who understand his scheme or speak the same terminology as him, all have a common understanding of what he wants and what he's after. And when you have a coaching staff like that, you end up with, in my opinion, you could potentially end up with a Marty Schottenheimer type of defense. And I this is the most excited I've been about a coaching staff since you look at the Marty era, whenever Marty had Cowher and he had Herm and he had Dungy on his staff, and there was a time when Howard Mudd was the O-line coach, whenever they had Bruce Arians as the running backs coach, and Al Saunders was on staff at one point. I mean, they've had a lot of talented coaches during the Marty era that were collectively together at one point, and that's why they were able to start out and have some of the success that they did. And I think that's kind of what this potentially could be for the defense. And then when you replace Justin Houston and Eric Berry with Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu, guys that are fresh, brand new, they haven't been burned by anything, they've been given proper financial compensation, then you have guys who are going to buy in, and both of them, hey, guess what? They got their money, and they're at OTAs. That's a weird concept, but there they are. So I think those guys are going to be crucial in helping this team create that mentality. This coaching staff is trying to build this mentality, and like C. Spagnuolo said, the foundation there. So when you add all those things combined, the offense, if it does take a little step back, I think it can without it having to feel the pressure of having to score on every single drive and not wondering if you're going to be able to stay in a game.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really ultimately the goal, is make it so that this offense, or so this defense, isn't a crippling Achilles heel
right.
for what you can do with this offense. Because we've talked about it all offseason. You don't have to become the 2000 Baltimore Ravens for this team to be a championship level team. No. You just have to be closer to NFL average. I mean, honestly, you just have to not be a terrible defense, and this team's going to have a chance to win a lot of football games and win some games in the playoffs as well. You know, it's almost like, last year with the defense and Bob Sutton and some of the salary cap issues they inherited, they dug themselves a big hole. And now this offseason was about pouring the concrete back into that hole, and trying to frame it out and rebuild something there on that side of the football. Let's hear from Coach Steve Spagnuolo about the foundation that's being built right now in OTAs.
You know, we haven't put a shoulder pad on. Luckily, they let us put helmets on. Otherwise, we'd still be doing all those pajama practices we were doing earlier. It's a long process. I'm certainly not going to compare it to anything. What I really look for right now is building a foundation. I've talked extensively with the guys about that. It's been all about building a foundation of fundamentals. That goes to communication, to believing in the system. And, yeah, I talk extensively about doing the things or mastering the things that take very little talent. You know, it doesn't take a lot of talent to communicate, you know, call out an under route, get aligned. You know, those little things we need to get taken care of now. Otherwise, it creates holes, and then we have problems. So I'm more focused on that.
Did you hear that, Todd? You don't have to have talent to communicate.
I'm sorry, what? No, because I got stuck early in the quote when he talked about pajama practices, and I was just thinking, Nick, what is your favorite thing to do in pajamas? Like watch a movie and eat some popcorn or practice football?
I haven't worn a pajama since I was a 2 or 3 year old kid. Yeah, it's been quite a time.
I've seen the Jacob's Family Christmas card. You, sir, are a liar.
You have not seen a Christmas card because we don't do that. We don't even put up a tree half the time.
All right, man. Whatever. I don't know.
My mom does, though, in case she's listening right now.
Yeah. Just let people in, Nick. They just want you to let them in. No, but, we've talked all about the Frank Clark move, the defensive coaching staff, the Tyrann Mathieu. It's all about creating a culture. Do you worry at all? There's one guy noticeably absent. I mean, the longer this goes on, do you think it ever becomes a problem, or is it still just mandatory OTAs in a couple weeks? If he's not there, then you have an issue? Or do you feel like he's falling behind, and ultimately it's going to hurt the Chiefs that Chris Jones has yet to make an appearance at offseason workouts?
Well, like we discussed on a podcast a couple weeks ago, mandatory minicamp is going to be the first time. That's going to be my first barometer on if he does show up. Then that will tell me that he's committed to being a part of the team. He just wanted to make his message known that he would like an upgrade in his contract, which some players have done.
And the Chiefs have about $9.55 million more as of Saturday to play with if they were looking to spread out some signing bonus this year.
Yeah, so that's the first kind of checkpoint. And then your next checkpoint becomes, does he show up to training camp when they have report date? And then after that, your next checkpoint comes to when they break training camp. Does he up in St. Joe? Is he there? And then when the season starts, is he there? So, I mean, you have those checkpoints along the way before you ring the alarm. But would you like to have him there? Do I think the coaching staff would like to have him there, evaluate what he's doing, see if he fits what they saw on tape and how they can use him and utilize him and have him attack? Yeah, I think they would like that. And if I was on the coaching staff, I would want that as well. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that he's not out there, but I understand that he potentially doesn't want to get injured, and he wants to let them know they'd like to financially be compensated.
The only concern I have is Frank Clark coming in trying to establish himself as a leader. Chris Jones, already one of the leaders. You'd like to see those guys be able to get on the same page, you know? I mean, because they're going to be, in terms of especially the defensive line, which sets the tempo for that, for the whole defense, they're going to be the two guys that you're going to, you know, tie a bandana around their legs, and they're going to have to run the three-legged race together. And if they're not in sync at some point, it could create some friction in the locker room, or at least it could prevent this defense from coming together the way you'd like to see them come together, you know, completely. And so it would be nice if those two guys got together. So, but you know, Frank Clark got his money and he's here. It's hard for me to, you know, knowing how NFL guys, you know, they understand what contracts are. They understand that it's a business. It's hard for me to imagine that that's a sore point with players in the locker room, that Chris Jones is not there for the voluntary portion. I think it could become a sore point, like you said, if it gets to the mandatory portion. But the reason I ask is because he's also missing out on time with, you know, with getting to know his new defensive line coach. You know, and let's hear from Brendan Daly. Of course, they pulled off of the New England Patriots staff. Let's hear from Brendan Daly, from Steve Spagnuolo about getting Brendan Daly onto this coaching staff.
You know, I got a real close friend in the business that's a real good football mind, in my opinion. And he said this a couple years ago that he felt like he saw a complete difference in the way they played defense in New England, and he felt like Brendan had a lot to do with that. And I thought it was a great observation. I mean, this friend is real biased because he knows Brendan real well. But, you know, Brendan went up there and learned from one of the best, the best coach in football, Coach Belichick, and he's brought a lot of that here. I pick his brains on, you know, what would Bill have done here. It's nice to have. I mean, it's a good resource to go to.
That's interesting to hear from Steve Spagnuolo. I didn't know he was that close with Brendan Daly's dad.
Oh, Todd.
But no, I mean, here's the truth. The truth of the matter. I'm not sure that the Chiefs may not have Brendan Daly for the long term in this position, because it sure sounds like at some point down the line, he's going to be a defensive coordinator somewhere in this league. I mean, he's got the Belichick background. If he succeeds here with the Chiefs under Spagnuolo and helps, especially if he helps get them to a Super Bowl, Brendan Daly's stock is just going to continue to rise. And he certainly has some talented players around him to make this work, with the Frank Clark, with the Chris Jones. You know, they added Alex Okafor, who, you know, is a guy that comes with a workmanlike reputation, a guy who brings his lunch pail, brings his hard hat, you know, does the little things. Not necessarily going to be a flashy player, not necessarily going to put up, you know, elite stats or anything like that, but he's a guy that'll get to work. There's a lot of talent there for him to work with. Do you buy that a position coach like a Brendan Daly can be a difference maker, you know, like, you know, Brendan's dad told Steve Spagnuolo he was with the Patriots? I'm just kidding. But like Steve Spagnuolo heard Brendan Daly was with the Patriots, you think he can be that here in Kansas City?
Yeah, I think Brendan was one of the biggest hires that Steve Spagnuolo was able to make on the scheme, and I think Matt House is going to be another big one, and Dave Merritt is a guy that I was happy to see them be able to get as well. When he went to Jacksonville, I get a little nervous at that point, but luckily they were kind enough to let him go find a position that fit more of his skill set and his ability here in Kansas City. So that was fantastic on that end. But yeah, Brendan Daly, I mean, what he was able to help do against the Chiefs in that AFC Championship game, I won't soon forget. And the way he brought it, the pressure he brought, the angles they brought it at, and how consistently they got to the Chiefs. I mean, it was just well done. And if he can do that here in Kansas City with teams that are going to be trying to pass the ball to keep up with the Chiefs, and the way that Daly coaches and the attitude that he has when he's coaching, all that combined, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised about what this rush can be. I know people are frustrated. Well, we're losing this, we're losing that, we're losing this. A lot of people are underestimating Daly as a coach and the clean canvas he has with a lot of these younger players to build them into a powerhouse.
Well, look no further than what he did with Trey Flowers, because Trey Flowers, good player.
And Malcolm Brown, those two, what he did with both those guys, it was fantastic.
We'll see how much success they have moving on. But, you know, speaking of Christmas cards, I hope Trey Flowers is sending one to Brendan Daly, because Brendan Daly's responsible for making that man a lot of money when he signed that contract this offseason with the Detroit Lions. Real quick, let's hear from Brendan Daly on the mentality he hopes to bring to this defensive line group.
If you're not out here giving the maximum effort and everything you got and a full commitment to this thing, and we got a problem. And that's coaches, players, trainers, equipment people. I mean, winning is hard. It's extremely hard. And it takes everyone involved. And, you know, that's important. That's important for everybody that's got whatever role that they've got in this thing, in my opinion.
And that was Brendan Daly talking about, you know, just wanting to just bring a competitive nature, a scrappiness to this defensive line. And look, that's when you talk about like Dee Ford and some of his limitations, you know, lining up on side notwithstanding, but limitations against the run and things like that. A lot of that just comes down to preparation, foot understanding, so that, you know, being able to diagnose what's happening, and competitiveness. I mean, run defense, as much as anything, I think, comes down to, you know, one-on-one battles and winning your one-on-one battles and doing the things you're supposed to do. I think Brendan Daly's going to make sure that his guys are doing those things.
Yeah, I expect the guys to be assignment sound. And what I found funny in a soundbite, when he said, you know, winning's hard, I'm like, he would know because he's done a lot of it up in New England. Yeah. So, yeah, he knows what it takes to get to the mountaintop. He's been to the mountaintop. He understands AFC championships. He understands Super Bowls. I mean, he's been there. He's been there a lot recently. So if he can help the Chiefs do that, then that's all that matters. But I'm really excited to see what – I'm over the moon about what this defense can be this year. I'm really excited to see, because, man, there was times I'd be out at training camp over the years, or OTAs or mini camp or whatever, and I'd be watching, and the only guy here on the football field, you know, saying stuff is whenever Andy had to correct something or Bieniemy would, you know, kind of put a fire where it needed to be, and I just didn't hear a lot of that from the defensive coaches, and that irritated me year after year. But I don't think I'm going to have to worry about that this year, and I'm very excited about that development.
Well, if I'm there, you'll definitely be able to hear me at training camp, because I'm told that I am quite loud.
But you're not coaching the players, so
that doesn't. Well, I could coach them from the tent, like holler, you know.
Oh, you're talking at training camp.
Yeah.
They won't be able to hear you because you're up on that hill.
Yeah. I'm just saying, but you could hear me, and that would make you happy, right?
I would put headphones on, noise canceling headphones.
Nick's giving me the break signal. I think he wants to go to break. All right. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the offense on the other side.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza. The power of Mother Nature.
We now have a confirmed tornado.
Taking direct aim on Kansas City.
We were watching Gerard Jubaley, so we knew it was coming.
This is significant, Gary.
And when the sirens sound.
Very strong tornado.
That's headed toward us.
They're the one team you can really trust.
Need to get in your safe place immediately.
On air, Facebook, on our app. They're accurate when it matters most. Gary Lezak and the 41 Action Weather Team. Kansas City's most accurate. Kansas City's weather leader.
41 Action News, available on Amazon Echo.
We know Kansas City.
We love telling the stories of Kansas City.
Well, it's not exactly any one thing, and we couldn't do it without our reporters on the streets.
Behind these doors here at MCC.
Big flashes of lightning as well.
We hustle. We dig.
We bring you the important stories you won't see anywhere else.
So how many diapers are you giving out a month?
There is a difference in the morning. Watch us, and you'll see.
41 Action News, clear, complete coverage.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer, clear, complete coverage.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. Nick, stop laughing at me.
I like how you tried to pretend that I made you break just so you get out of that conversation. Really, Todd? You're uncomfortable for once? That's weird.
All right. Hey, guys. I'm Todd Palmer. This is Nick Jacobs. We're talking Chiefs football.
Hi.
Yeah, so we looked a little bit at the defense since we heard from some of the defensive assistants, and
we get to hear from a great man.
I was going to say
in this segment.
As Chris Berman would say, I would like for you to be my friend, but if you're not, please don't, Eric Bieniemy. That didn't work very well, but
you definitely Eric Bieniemy took an L on that.
Yeah, I know. So, In your rankings of most important men in your life, there's your father, presumably.
Uh-huh.
And then where does Eric Bieniemy fall? Is he number two? Mm. Number three behind me?
That's funny.
Mick Schaefer's probably the top five,
that's
right?
That's funny. But you think you're on that list. That's so funny.
All right. I'm sorry. Okay, fine. Therese.
okay. If we're going to make a I will give you... I'll give you a list, but it's not a
general Norman Schwarzkopf. Does he make
no? Obviously, my dad will be one on that. My Grandpa Jacobs and Grandpa Curley, I'll both give even twos.
Okay.
And if anybody's in Petula, Missouri, say hi to my Grandpa Dean for you.
There you go.
They're doing some flooding up there right now, up there in that area. But anyways, and then three would probably be my brother at that point, and
the one who's the officer.
He's a person. Now, number four is Ken Clemens, my O-line coach. And then, you know.
Eric Bieniemy
might be sneaking in there. I don't know. He might be sneaking in there.
So, I don't know. It's between him and Mahomes.
Mahomes is not on that list. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I am a big fan of Bieniemy. We have a fan club, and we meet on Thursday.
Okay. More likely to get a tattoo of Eric Bieniemy or Patrick Mahomes? Go. And where would you put it?
I'm not getting a tattoo.
Okay.
In general, I'm sorry. That's just not my.
I'm hearing inside of the wrist and left for Bieniemy because closer to your heart, and right for Patrick Mahomes. If I'm in the vicinity. Yep, he blinked. Okay.
Whatever. I like if anybody's watching the video version of it, they're going to be like, Nick wasn't even looking
at
him.
They're not going to be able to see from that.
They're going to see that I'm not making eye contact with you specifically, so you wouldn't be able to say that.
Okay, well, as this podcast has evolved, it's gone off the rails a time or two, as you know.
Yeah, because they learned that Todd lies.
I am in rare form today. But look, we've talked about in the offs. You know, we've talked about some during this offseason and even before the season ended that, look, Patrick Mahomes, for everything he's done, teams are not going to have a book on him. Like, what he did last year is not going to be good enough. He's going to have to do a good self-scout, and he's going to have to come up with some other things that they can do. They're going to have to short the protection, quite frankly, because it wasn't good enough at times, and it forced Patrick into some situations where he's either going to get hurt or he's going to get unlucky a few times with some of those turnovers and some of the throws he tries to make. So evolution of this offense is critical this offseason. And that doesn't mean that the offense is going to get better numbers-wise, but it has to get improve in certain areas. It has, you know, it can't stand pat. You can't, you know, if you're standing pat, you're losing ground in the NFL. So let's hear from Eric Bieniemy about what he expects to see in terms of the evolution of this offense.
Each and every day, we're challenging our guys with new and different, projects when we come out on the field. So we always pride ourselves in staying, you know, a step or two ahead. So, I mean, defenses are going to prepare to play against us. And obviously, kudos. We're in the NFL. They get paid to do so. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we're just getting better at the little things that we can improve upon. And then, you know what, the fancy new stuff that we may put in, you know, you guys will get a sneak peek in Jacksonville.
Hey, all I want to know, do you not want to run through a wall right now? I actually just did.
No.
So I think my paycheck's gone for the week. I apologize. I was going to say,
I've got a lot of medical bills already.
And I've had a couple.
At my age, I would absolutely hurt myself trying to run into a wall. Much less through it.
Yeah. That's
I would gladly take some of the $9.55 million the Chiefs saved with designating Eric Berry as a post June 1 cut, but I don't think I'm going to help the product on the field. It would be, let me put it this way, it would be a poor use of funds by Brett Veach, because I'm old and slow now.
You really know how to sell yourself for people.
If you're looking for someone to challenge Dustin Colquitt as a punter, though, I have studied his game film extensively.
You might have, but I think it's probably like a golf swing. He just goes off to the left. Oh my gosh, he hit somebody in the stands with that punt.
At least it'd be entertaining. It's an entertainment industry, Nick. I mean,
I'm sure the coaching staff would be really entertained that you only kicked it 2 yards.
Yeah, Dave, and to see Dave Tubby just shake his head and walk off.
So. I can't even look at you right now.
It's all right though. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd take the paycheck. I'd still cash the paycheck. That's all I'm saying.
Would you wear a ski mask while you're doing it so you felt comfortable that you were robbing the organization of money?
I would not. I would take a picture as I signed the check and handed it to the teller.
Okay. Congrats, man. So, hey, Chiefs offense.
Yeah.
Excited?
I guess you actually do kind of want him to stand pat.
I do want him to stay with Pat, yeah.
But speaking of Pat and standing, one of the things that some people have criticized is his footwork in the pocket, you know, and being able to stay on balance, you know. And look, it's one of those things that, you know, when you hear like Charlie Casserly complain about it, it's like, well, his ability to throw off platform and his ability to make plays under duress and when he's got someone in his face and he can't step into a throw is part of what makes Patrick Mahomes special. Mm-hmm. But there are times that he can improve in those areas still.
Sure.
You don't want to take away his ability to freelance. You don't want to take away his creativity. You don't want to take away almost an NBA quality, an NBA point guard quality to the way he plays the game. But at the same time, yes, he can get mechanically more sound in certain areas. And I know that's something that Eric Bieniemy is working on. So let's hear him talk about working with Patrick Mahomes on his footwork this offseason.
One thing going into this offseason, all the coaches and myself, we sat down and wrote down things that we like to see ourselves, you know, our players improve upon. One thing Mike harped on was basically, you know, being consistent with his drops in the pocket, being consistent with his footwork. And one thing I have seen, we've addressed it. He's doing a better job, and you can see it, you know. And the thing about it, when I'm looking at him, it's not so much I'm looking at what is he looking at downfield, because that takes care of itself. I want to see if he's being consistent with his pocket presence, with his footwork in the pocket.
That's Eric Bieniemy talking about Patrick Mahomes and just some of the technical things they've done in the self-scout. And that's, I love hearing that, because it tells me that they're attacking this offseason. I really think that... And this is not a knock on Alex Smith, because I know that Andy Reid has a lot of respect for Alex Smith. But I think working with Patrick Mahomes has reinvigorated that entire offensive coaching staff, because I think they realize what you know, how special this kid is and how special this kid can be moving forward. And I think they feel the responsibility to make sure that he becomes as great as he can. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's honestly a dream scenario if you're a Chiefs fan to have this coaching staff with this quarterback in this era of the NFL. Because I think that you know, if they get lucky in terms of health and a bounce or two here or there, I think that special things could be on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, and what's so funny about it is that, you know, Pat is coming off an MVP award, and he really still hasn't even come close to reaching his ceiling. I still, to this day, don't believe that if all things go right, that we're even close to scratching the surface of what Patrick Mahomes can be down the road here. And that's insane to think that, like, he's not even anywhere near where he could be down the road here after he's seen the NFL defenses enough, after he's able to audible maybe to the level that Brady and Manning and Rodgers and Big Ben and some of those guys and then some of those other aspects of it, and then from a footwork perspective, if he gets to the correct par that quarterback, other quarterbacks that don't have the arm skill that he does have to rely on.
Yeah.
And if he's able to have all those mechanics that he needs whenever he's taking his drop, when he's making his aim point, whenever he's, you know, whenever he's having to put a certain trajectory on it, or when to throw the fastball and when to put air under it and loft it and everything of that nature.
It's called an Ephus pitch.
Okay. Thanks for that lesson, Todd. I don't even know if you're...
It's called the Ephus pitch.
All right. I'm just going to believe you. And I'm going to feel bad if you just made that up right now.
No, I lead you astray fairly frequently, but not in this case.
So people can understand why I have my trust issues with Todd. Todd once left me in a parking lot out in a... I just made that up.
I was going to say, I was like,
you've threatened to leave me before behind whenever we've...
Only when you make me pay the bill at dinner.
I've never made you pay. Okay. All right. Anyways. Getting off track here, but going back to Mahomes, yeah, I don't think you've seen that ceiling, and man, whenever if he can, I'm just excited to see whenever he's able to reach that. And like you said, I enjoy that he has a coaching staff with Bieniemy, with Kafka, with Andy, and everybody combined that is willing to put in that work and surround him with the necessary weapons to reach that potential Hall of Fame type of ceiling.
Yeah,
and I think it's so cool that we've wanted a franchise quarterback for so long, fans, you know, media, everybody, to be able to watch a guy that's just on another level and to be able to see that and to know that he's the Chiefs quarterback and that he wants to be here for quite some time. I mean, that, you know, it feels like the stars have aligned to a certain extent, but at the same time, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're just waiting for what's around the corner and nervous that something may happen and ruin those dreams.
Now you're starting to sound like me, just so you know. Huh. And look, you mentioned one thing, though, about surrounding him with talent and stuff like that. Eric Bieniemy, obviously, you know, running back is his natural position. That's where he became a star at Colorado. That's what he was known for, you know, during his NFL playing days. The running back situation, I think, is a unique one for the Chiefs. There's a lot of guys, but it's hard to say if there's, you know, if there's anybody you really trust in that room. But when you talk, when you listen to Eric Bieniemy, it seems like they clearly believe in Damian Williams. So let's hear from Eric Bieniemy real quick on the running back situation for the Kansas City Chiefs.
At the end of the day, you always want the best football player that plays the running back position. And just what you said, I think each and every one of those guys brings something a little different to the table. They got to be able to run, they got to be able to catch, they got to be able to block. And they all do it a little different. But at the end of the day, they understand that, hey, if I'm in the game, my job and my role is to basically make sure that I'm living up to the three elements that we just discussed. But these guys are doing a great job of competing against one another. And that, you know, the young kid, I mean, he'll make a mistake one day. Next day, he's back on task.
And that was Eric Bieniemy talking about running backs and what he wants to see from running backs in this Chiefs offense. And right before that, he was really praising Damian Williams. Some of the questions had to do with Damian. Is he the guy? That kind of thing. The Chiefs seem to have a lot of confidence in Damian Williams. And obviously they signaled that when they signed him to an extension in December, you know, after Kareem Hunt was dismissed from the team. Do you have as much faith in Damian Williams?
I'm curious to see what he can do this year. I personally still, the biggest thing I've got question wise is how often is he able to break tackles whenever he makes contact? That's kind of one of my bigger ones I'm interested in seeing, because he can catch out of the backfield. He can be somewhat elusive. I felt like last year there were some times where he didn't always see the hole and didn't hit it at the right time to where he could have got the most, you know, the most yards possible on that gain.
It'll be interesting to see, though. He's going to have a full offseason where presumably he's going to get number one reps, and he had been behind Kareem Hunt. So some of that stuff maybe could improve just if he gets more reps in the system as the feature back now.
You're hoping so. And then I'm curious to see what Carlos Hyde can obviously do, and then Darwin Thompson's another one I'm curious to see what he'll do, and James Williams as well. Darrell Williams, I think he's going to have some serious competition this year to stay on the roster.
Does that make you sad?
I mean, I want to see the best players on that roster and out there on that team.
I just know last training camp we were rooting for Darrell Williams to make the roster, and you know, here you're already trying to kick him off.
Hang on. So what a
life comes at you fast.
What a difference a year makes there, bud.
All right. Speaking of life coming at you fast, we are done with the B block and we are moving on. We're going to play a few games in the C block. Nick's favorite segment coming up on the other side of this break.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
We don't just report the stories. We find the stories. Getting the answers you deserve every day, every night. 41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Welcome to, welcome back, I'm sorry, to the 4th and 1 podcast. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. I apologize. I said we were going to play Nick's favorite game. I may have put words into his mouth. And if you've listened to this podcast before.
Shocker.
Yeah, you made it. So the idea was going to be I was going to blindfold him and I was going to have him sample food and see if he could guess what it was. And he said he didn't want to do it. So we're going to play Nick's second favorite game now.
The first time I've heard about this thing. Todd making up stories yet again.
It was going to be a tasty burrito from Chewy's, just so you know. But instead, I guess we'll just play Name That Chief. I believe it's your turn to start.
Okay. All right. You ready?
Oh, probably not, but...
All right. This former Chief was drafted in the 10th round of 1992.
10th round of 92?
92. He was the 272nd pick overall.
Steve Elkins.
He was selected by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, okay. See?
He played for the New Orleans Saints, the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers, the Washington Redskins, and the Philadelphia Eagles. He was a cornerback at Alabama.
You love picking these journeymen on me.
Well, and he, in 1997, while he's playing for the Chiefs, he led them, he led the NFL in interception return yardage. And here we go. His nickname was Mighty Mouse.
Mark Collins?
No, we already did Mark Collins. Give the mark right. God, can you name that chief?
Apparently not. I was thinking, I thought Mark Collins was Mighty Mouse.
Mark was a Mighty Mouse, but it wasn't Collins. Because this chief was 5'7", 154.
Yeah, I'm not coming up with a last name here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Todd. The chief that you meant to name was Mark McMillan.
Oh, yeah.
Mighty Mouse, yeah. Mark McMillan.
Yeah. He was a 10th round pick by the Eagles?
Yeah.
Was that like the last? And then after that, they were like, yeah, we're just going to do seven
rounds. I'm sorry,
guys.
Todd. You will not be winning the car you or the pick gift like certificate.
I always pick guys who like spent the bulk of their career with the Chiefs. And you're always like, this guy spent two of his 18 NFL seasons with the Chiefs.
Yeah, but I've given you nicknames like Andre Rison. I gave you the Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
I thought the Mighty Mouse thing would work, but it didn't.
I'm sorry, Todd, that I keep picking Chiefs from
the Marty era. I try to pick Chiefs that were actually whenever we were alive.
Well, I have a chief from the Marty era too. Oh my, I was alive. It's not my fault that you weren't born when Carlos Carson was playing.
I still got the answer though, didn't
That's
I?
That's true.
Burn.
So here you go.
Didn't
are you ready?
Hear
are you ready to name this chief?
Burn? I said a burn. Up a burn.
See, I told you guys he's a secret karaoke fan. See,
you're saying we should have a karaoke night?
Yes. Okay. I'm in. You, me, and Therese.
I will not sing with you though.
We'll sing like you know songs that require. Umbrellas and your drink.
Nope. Yep. I'm just gonna sing.
Just the three of us singing the Jimmy Buffett catalog.
I'm gonna sing what's in my tone range.
Paradise.
I'm already like not gonna be a part of that one. And I hope Therese.
Okay, well, I've already bought you and Therese Hawaiian shirts and I can't take them back because they were on sale, so you're doing this. All right, are you ready to name that
it's like
chief?
The Christmas cards all over again.
All right, are you ready to name my chief?
Yeah, go ahead. Light that candle, Todd.
All right, here we go. This former Chiefs first-round pick, who was taken number 13 overall, was the player of the game in the 1988 Rose Bowl. He's one of only four players in college football history to win both the Butkus and Lombardi Awards and was enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2013. His younger brother, Eric, played in the NBA. After a decent rookie season, which included two sacks and interception, this Canton, Ohio native proved to be less adept than our friend and your Sky Center compatriot, Angie Horner, at riding a scooter.
Oh, no.
During training camp.
I can already answer that. That's the key
1991.
One right
there. Hold on. The knee injury he sustained also wrecked his NFL career, and he was out of the league by 1993, later playing for the Rhine Fire. Nick Jacobs, can you name this chief with a connection to Angie Horner?
If I remember correctly, the moped accident gave it away for me. And that, if I remember correctly, that was Percy Snow.
It absolutely was Percy Snow.
Yeah, I remember that happening, man. That was a bad deal.
And if you ever get a chance to bring it up to Adam Teicher, please do.
Oh, yeah?
He's a big Sparty fan, so.
All right.
I feel like I always give you like a cornball clue that gives it away.
I always give you a clue. Dude, I thought the Mighty Mouse one was going to get it for you.
Do you think now that I mentioned Angie on the podcast, she'll follow me on Twitter?
In all honesty, I let her know that she was on it last week, and I never heard anything back from her.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Now we'll just start saying mean things about her on the podcast.
All right, do you want to check the tweets
now?
Oh,
yeah. No, it's time to check the tweets.
And then I got one more thing after that that I promised somebody I would do on the podcast. First one is going to be from Patrick Stevens, who I went to high school with and played football with and spent a lot of my youth hanging out with among that entourage.
This is getting uncomfortable for me. Let's move on.
You don't like to know my friends before you, Todd? Okay, so Patrick asks, do you see the extra money that the Chiefs gained from the Eric Berry June 2nd cap. Do you see that? Do you see them signing Jones or possibly going after another cornerback?
Well, I mean, it just depends on who falls in their lap. I mean, I don't think this Jones deal is going to get wrapped up anytime soon. If they do extend him, and I do think there's a, I'd put it at probably 70-30 that they do extend him before the season starts, or at least before September's over, in terms of Chris Jones. I mean, obviously some of that money can be earmarked for that, but you know, the way you can kind of fudge signing bonuses and slide them around, it just depends. The beauty of this is if there are some cap casualties, whether it's a cornerback, say, with the Minnesota Vikings who have some cap issues or things like that, the Chiefs now have some money to go pursue that. So, I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there right now that you say, oh, the Chiefs have to go add this guy, but you never know what's going to happen as we get closer to the season.
All right, Todd. Next one will be from Jason. He says, is Hitchens good enough without Butterscotch Bob to be borderline Pro Bowl at middle linebacker? He says yes.
I mean, I don't know that he was borderline Pro Bowl at Dallas. I mean, but then again, so many people make the Pro Bowl. Sure, I'll say, yeah, borderline. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be pretty bad to not be on the borderline. So,
and Jason has a follow-up for you.
Oh, okay.
One more, he says. Who do you pair with the Honey Badger, Watts or Lucas? His vote's for Lucas at 16 games.
Yeah, so no,
thanks, fellas.
I think it's Jordan as well. I loved what I saw from Jordan Lucas in limited action last year. And I think the thing that I like about Jordan compared to a guy like Armani Watts is not that it's a knock on Watts, but we haven't seen enough of him in the NFL to know. But I think Jordan, like Tyrann Mathieu, is versatile. I think he can play well in coverage. I think he can also have some value coming up and run support and things like that. And I think that's going to be critical for what Spagnuolo and the Chiefs want to do. They want that versatility, especially from their safeties. I think that's how they're going to use Mathieu. I think that's why they prioritized him as a signing. And I think that Jordan Lucas is probably the best fit on the roster to partner there.
All right. And Keith will be our final name.
All right, Keith,
check
hit
the tweets. Please don't promote assault, Todd.
Well, I mean, it's a figure speech, Nick.
Okay.
So I didn't mean it as a pejorative.
Okay. Oh, and Todd brings his $5 word.
You thought I was going to forget 2 weeks in a row, didn't you?
Yeah, I was hoping so. I hope it went on vacation for quite some time, but not today.
Nope.
Keith, if you could add one of the following from their prime to the Chiefs team right now, who would it be? Christian Okoye, Priest Holmes, or Larry Johnson?
Probably Priest Holmes. Just because I think Priest fits the skill set that Andy's offense utilizes the best of those three.
All right. Now, the final part that we were going to have that I promised, and I got to deliver on our promises to the people, was a Scott Pioli story.
Oh, okay.
I remember one of the followers was asking for, so I got that written down right there. The story I'm going to tell you is safe to do now because it's been since 2012 when it happened. And I got it from, I got it from some people that are no longer with the organization. So that's why it's safe to tell at this point. And it's not a terrible story. What some people that were in the meeting room have told me that the coaches had gotten together and they were deciding, supposedly Scott had wanted to hear what they wanted to do with the quarterback situation. Did they want to re-sign Kyle Orton, have him on staff, or did they want to keep going with Matt Cassel? And you want to get the input from the coaching staff on that. So,
and then, of course, traded for him the year before.
Who? Orton?
Or
it claimed him off waivers.
No. Cassel
they got in 2009. This would have been 2011.
Okay, yeah. So he was nearing the end of his whatever, the $63 million deal that he'd signed.
He was closer to it.
Yeah.
Yes. So the decision was, do you want to go with Kyle Orton, re-sign him after they'd gotten him off waivers from Denver, or did you want to go with Cassel? And all the coaches were in the room. They had a vote. And from my understanding, it was unanimously that they all wanted to go with Orton. And that was passed up to the chain. And in 2012, Matt Cassel was starting. And Kyle Orton was in with the Cowboys, if I remember correctly. So that's a little story that I promised to give out there. And it is just kind of funny. Kind of that era and that time whenever I know Bob Gross did a great job kind of illustrating that Romeo is interested in Hugh Jackson and Al Saunders as potential offensive coordinators, and they ended up with Brian Daboll, who I'm got a feeling was kind of a Pioli hire on that one. Because Pioli liked to stay within his inner circle. So, there's your Chiefs story. Hope you enjoyed it. You probably didn't, but hey, if you did, thank you.
So, yeah, if you liked that, go to the comment section on iTunes and say, leave your favorite memory of the Scott Pioli era in the comments and give us a 12-star rating.
I believe it only goes up to 5, Todd.
Not for us.
Have you looked at the reviews on there?
I'm scared too.
That's probably for the best. Don't look at them. But we do encourage you to vote for it. And you know, if you give us 1 star, you're not invited on my birthday party.
Yeah, no Christmas card from the Jacobs family for you.
With no Christmas tree behind it.
That's right. But they will be in PJs, and we'll be back next week on 4th and 1. Say goodbye, Nick.
Bye, Tom.